Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. From Vancouver to Halifax, Flin Flon to Estevan, he's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Good day, Canada. Good morning, Western Canada. Hello to you out east, and hello to Canadian sports fans around the world. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show as we set sail here on hour one of the program. This is episode number 185 of Canada's only live morning sports talk show, coming at you on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com. I'm the host. You saw the name. He's the co-host, Darren DuPont. Hello, Dupes.
Good morning.
Ready to have some fun today?
Always.
Just continue the fun that we continue to have.
Man.
It's been a fun 24, 48 hours around here. And for you CFL fans, I really think you're going to enjoy this program today, particularly the fans of the Green and White Saskatchewan Roughriders. Our producer, Clark, has really outdone himself again. And we're having a rider-themed show today. Why not here in the dead of winter, which it still is?
Yeah.
Does it feel like spring yet to you?
Yeah.
It does?
Well, it does. I know it's kind of snow a little bit today, a little muggy outside, but it felt like spring.
It's not horrible. Yeah, that's for sure.
No, when I was picking up coffee, you know, and it reminded me like Perkin Taps when I went over there this morning and I was grabbing a coffee and they've got the fake grass out front and the vines on the walls, right? The turf and the vines on the walls. It reminded me of like a muggy, cold spring day in Vancouver on the coast with the grass.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No. And so it felt like spring.
It's funny. It is a rider theme show. We got Hall of Famer Wes Cates lined up in the chute, ready to come in here in segment two. Hall of Fame, Canadian Football Hall of Fame inductee Jim Hobson from last year's class will be here, rider president of the Decade of Decadence, 2006 to 2014. And I'll never forget the last time he was here. His wife, Brenda, sat on the sponsor's couch and she said, If my work environment was like this, I would have never retired.
Yeah.
This is so much fun. And part of it is coffee and the Perkin Taps treats. That's the point. You gotta just go check out Perkin Taps. Thank me later. Their cookies are like mini cakes. They're like 2 inches thick. I don't know how they do it. It's unbelievable. I can't say no.
I know. So good.
so good.
I was thinking, you know, when you talk about the 30 pounds, that maybe we'd have to swap out the treats for a fruit basket, but...
I'm down 7 pounds even since coming home from Mexico. So we're on the right side.
Good.
Hey, Stephen Jacobson writes in from Minot, North Dakota. And I want to say hello to our American viewers. I got a very interesting opportunity this morning come into my inbox, Darren. They asked if I would be interested in coming down and emceeing an event in Mandan, North Dakota.
No way.
Later this month. And I said, absolutely. Let's do it. Let's get it on. First, call my manager, Joe Broken Toe Gunnis in Moose Jaw. Here's his number. But I would love to go to Mandan. And then my wife came downstairs as she was on her way out to work. I said, I think we're going to North Dakota later this month. And she's like, how far is it? It's like 6 hours. She's in.
Hire the chopper.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Hey, where are we with that chopper, that contra deal we were going to get?
Got to work on that.
Yeah, that would help.
That would help.
So Jim Hobson, Wes Cates, and current Saskatchewan Rough Riders Otha Foster and Josiah St. John coming up on the program today. But that's not to say you fans of CFL other teams or even hockey fans need to steer away from the program just because it's a rider-themed show, right? We're going to be covering all the CFL topics.
Oh, yeah.
And all the things that that are going on in the world right now. So just sit back and enjoy. Sip your coffee. We'll take care of you. You ready to go to the quick six show topics here? As we are in the rollout for Flooring Superstore, by the way, Flooring Superstores and the Dickin family, we love them like the Dickens. I got to say, number one, big junior hockey night last night. I got to start there.
Have to.
You and I called the game at Humboldt. People are still talking about, you know, it was a fun broadcast on Sastol Max TV Local. For us, more than anything, it was just fun. Two, pretty big game. The Humboldt Broncos beat Melville 3-1. The coach of the Broncos, Scott Barney, has become a very close friend of mine. And we spent a long time before the game chatting in his office. And that's what I loved about the business in the first place. Getting to know the people, hanging out, shooting the fat. I mean, it's kind of changed over the years. But last night was a trip back in time, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
To hang out with the coaches. So just get this for a second. The outcome of the game really didn't matter. It was the last game of the regular season. 7 minutes are left in the game. Humboldt's up 3-1. And Scott Barney, the Broncos coach, pulls his goalie. They're up 3-1. There's no penalty coming. It's 5-on-5, and he pulls his goalie. Everybody in the rinks looking at the Elgar Peterson Arena and the EPA going, what the hell is he doing? Like, I am not understating this by saying this may have never before been done, ever, in 100 years of hockey. Never. And we had the pleasure of being there for it. So after the game, I texted him, and I said, as we were leaving the arena, what was that? Because the TV cameras were on him, and he was smiling on the bench. And he goes, just giving him something to think about. And giving him something to talk about at Tim Hortons tomorrow morning. So at the Tim Hortons and Humboldt, they'll be talking about what was Coach Barney thinking last night.
Yeah. And he pulled it off. I mean, they didn't score, but they didn't allow
it. But they weren't scored on.
No.
So it was fun. Thanks. We had a blast.
Oh, yeah. Line of the night. There's a 6'9" defenseman, Braden Cameron.
6'9", folks. He's playing his first ever game.
270 pounds. He's a defensive end. Okay. 6'9", and he's 16 years old.
He's 16 years old.
17 years old. 6'9", 270.
16, 17. What's the difference?
Gets called up for his first junior game from the Beardies Blackhawks. His favorite meal is elk meat and potatoes. And he runs over one of the defensemen for Melville.
Steamrolls him.
And your line was, you know, Scott Barney told us to be on the lookout for Braden Cameron. Should have told McIntyre. Which is the name of the defenseman.
Who we flattened. Should have told him to be on the lookout for him.
Oh, man.
And I'll just say one more. This kid is from Duck Lake, Saskatchewan, and he's 6'9", 270. He's 16, 17. This is his first game. Called him up, and Scott Barney said to me, he had his feet up on his desk in his office. He's so excited to see the kid play. He's like, I hope he's mean. And he was mean, too.
Oh, when he came out, so the rookies come out on the ice, and they all come out of the tunnel. The rookie goes first, and then they stop and make the rookie skate a lap, you know, an embarrassing kind of loser lap. And when he went out, there was no loser lap. It was like the Undertaker walking down the aisle, the ramp at a wrestling event at WrestleMania, because all the millionaires were on the ice, and they all looked over like this, and they looked up like,
who is this?
This isn't the Humboldt Broncos that we know. What is this team?
He's the eighth wonder of the world.
Oh, yeah.
So that was our night in Humboldt. And then fireworks in the Brand Center last night. The Pats beat Moose Jaw 7-4. And there was a brawl at the end of the game. And I just felt like it was 1986 all over again. And my heart just got warm.
That was fun, too.
What was the thing that was just on the screen, Clark?
NHL rules.
Yeah. Oh, that's my next point. So from Randy Nickel watching in Cochrane, Alberta, he says, from TSN, the playoffs is when the NHL will officially introduce a new puck containing sensitive electronic equipment for all games as part of the dawn of the player and puck tracking era, tested with a puck cannon to 170 miles an hour. So that is my second point, is the NHL GM's meeting. So they're going to bring this up. So the salary cap's going to go up by $6 million per team. Is that as early as next year?
Potentially, yep.
They're going to clean up the offside rules, which I think is great.
Awesome.
And this now, they're going to track the puck with a chip in it. Frankly, I don't have a problem with it. You ever been to Top Golf?
I have not yet.
Well, you got to go. They got chips in the golf balls. Nobody would know. It's technology. Let's get with it. Yep. NHL, same thing. I have no problem with that. What I do have a problem with was it the All-Star game this year where they had like the old EA Sports with the names over the players on the screen? Do you think we're stupid that you got to put the names of the players over their heads? They're not doing it in football. They're not doing it in the NBA.
That's why you have the play-by-play guy.
Please don't do that. Jason Bicek in Red Deer says, yay, another gimmick. I want to watch a damn hockey game, not a video game. You're not going to please everybody.
Well, and here's the thing about the puck. If it's going to weigh the same, it's going to feel the same, it's going to look the same, it's going to be made of rubber, whatever, you're not going to notice the difference. The puck is in there for, I think, the chip's going to be in there for the analytics, the extra stats, tracking those things later. I don't think we're going back to the Fox puck. I don't think it's anything that's going to change the actual game on the ice. So that's a good thing.
I hope they don't litter up our screen.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just remember, I'm old and I'm old school. I don't need you to go fiddling with this, but I understand that I don't speak for the demographic maybe that they're trying to attract in America. Point three, my teams won last night. Oilers beat the Stars 2-1 in overtime. The Vegas Golden Knights shut out New Jersey 3-0, righted the ship. And your Leafs lost.
Yes. They did not play.
All is right in the world.
I was watching it, well, following a little bit in our ride home last night. Not good.
Point four, Saskatchewan 5-1 at the Brier. Matt Dunstone's won five in a row, and from what I heard this morning, he set a record for curling at 100% efficiency.
Yeah.
So people are starting to pay attention to what's going on with Matt Dunstone, the super team that was put together last year by Braden Muskowy, his third.
40,
here we go.
40 years is long enough for Saskatchewan at the Brier.
Yeah.
You know, 19 straight ends of 100% curling. That's unbelievable. That's legendary stuff.
Setting a record.
I think he's only 24 years old. Young kid. This is great.
Get used to it. As my friend Johnny Athens says, Saskatchewan winning at the Brier, get used to it.
Yeah.
Point five, the TJ Jones situation, as we work this around to CFL. This came down, actually, just before we went off the air yesterday. The CFL Players Association has rejected the league's amendment proposal to allow TJ Jones. For those that aren't following the story, Canadian kid from Winnipeg who's played 5 years in the National Football League. Canadian kid, played in the NFL, wants to come play in the CFL. Argo signed him to a $200,000 deal. And under the terms of the new collective bargaining agreement, no CFL rookie can make over $80,000. Canadian rookie can make over $80,000. Well, now it sits in limbo. A lot's been learned over the last week since this came out, that this little phrase in the CBA was not put in there by accident. It was not an oversight. So the league wants it amended to allow for TJ Jones to play. The CFL head office. Let's just say Commissioner Randy Ambrosi wants it amended. Went to the Players Association. They rejected it. Now, Wes, would the players have voted on that?
More than likely.
So the players would have voted it. They voted it down. No. So we maybe jumped to conclusions yesterday. Me might have jumped to conclusions by saying the players are looking at it from their own angle, individually, what's best for them, not what's best for TJ Jones. So what I read, the latest, the president, Solomon Elamimian of the Players Association, did a counterproposal back to the CFL on what they think could be done for TJ Jones, and they haven't heard back from the CFL yet. And the agent, Robbie Fry, the agent for TJ Jones, who's a good Regina kid, went to Luther. He's saying, can we get a decision here? The guy needs to get on with his life.
Yeah. And when we had Randy on the program, it sounds like they're going to take their time with this. It's going to take a little bit of time to make sure they get it right. But there's going to be that negotiation back and forth now, because clearly what the league offered, the players didn't like what they had to concede, and the players didn't, you know, send something back to the league, and we'll see if the league now is okay with the counter proposal. They'll go back and forth, and then they'll get into some negotiations, and away we go.
From Monty Klassen in Saskatoon, he says, are we going to talk football? Hey, Monty, I'll do the talking, you do the watching. Fair?
Fair.
So out of this, I thought, could they not amend this to have a special circumstance? To have individual cases looked at? So that TJ Jones, like in the CHL, i.e., Western Hockey League, Ontario Hockey League, they have this, what do they call the players? The underages that can play the 15-year-olds?
Yeah.
What do they call them?
I don't know if they have a name for them.
Like Dominic, or the Savard kid in Winnipeg.
Just 15-year-olds that can play.
And Connor McDavid had it in Ontario.
Exceptional player status.
Exceptional player status. Can we not have exceptional player status for TJ Jones?
Yeah. Or have
Wouldn't that solve it?
Or an oversight committee that can you know, make a ruling on, like an arbitrator, make a ruling on a case-by-case scenario. And just like, you know, you do a supplemental discipline, and it's like, okay, here's why, and here's why not. Here's, in this case, why we've done this, and here's why we haven't, right? You could do something like that for sure. But unfortunately, in today's world, with so much noise and so many people who can have an opinion on social media, everything, you want to take any opportunity to get blamed for something or any opportunity to take some heat away. Nobody wants to be in the kitchen and be in the heat. So, you know, you got to find a way to make it a black and white rule. I hope they come up with something. But it would be great if we could do something like that.
I hope that TJ Jones is playing in the Canadian Football League in 2020 if he wants to at $200,000 a year. Everybody agrees they want the best players in the CFL that they can. Everybody agrees on that.
Especially good Canadians.
Of course.
Who especially the ones who have, you know, NFL experience who want to come and play and would be high-end players. A player making $200,000 a year and you don't want him? You don't want the Canadian in? Like, that I don't get. You have to find a way to have Canadians playing the game of football.
Well, I really noticed in that realm when there was talk about Brandon Bridge being a Canadian quarterback and how that should start to your seven, that should count towards your seven Canadian starters, because for the longest time it didn't. And I've gone through this, CB. I've looked at it very closely. I don't see an amendment that the quarterback is now counting as your starter. People tell me that it's in there. I haven't seen it. But anyways, my point is, we all wanted it, right? That would be great for the Canadians. That would be great for Brandon Bridge. Well, Kevin Glenn told me, whom I have infinite amount of respect for, I'm against it. I said, what do you mean you're against it? He goes, that hurts American quarterbacks.
See, and that's,
can't blame him.
Well, and that's part of it, you know, and I don't want to say, I'm not going to speak for Saul, because him and I don't have a personal relationship, and like, he's an American in running the CFLPA. Would an American, you know, not want TJ Jones to be able to come in and make $200,000 a year? Because that's an American receiver spot, right? A high-end American spot. I don't know if that's going on, but at least it's worth considering.
Robin, watching in Prince Albert, says, I am shocked that the Players Association would vote that down. I am too. Maybe Wes Cates, who's participated in many player votes, can shed some light on that when he joins us in the next segment. And by the way, Jim Hobson coming up in hour two, along with Otha Foster and Josiah St. John.
We don't know what the league said in that deal.
No.
They might have said, okay, we'll allow this, but the cap on rookie salaries goes from $80,000 to $70,000. They might have said that, and the players might have said no, right? We got to go back to something else.
I know. But
there's something in there that the players didn't like. So before we jump on it, we got to find out what it is. What was in there that the players didn't like? And what did they change in their proposal back to the league?
One thing the leagues and the players associations need to understand is that people are going to jump to this conclusions, particularly guys like us. I've seen a lot of opinions on Twitter saying this doesn't make the players look good, blah, blah, blah. So you better get your position out there. You better explain yourself.
Yes.
And soon.
Because they negotiated this. Like, let's remember that. They negotiated this, and every point was negotiated. So they agreed to this. They're not going to come back in a negotiation and just give something away for free. You don't come to the table and be like, okay, so I want more money. Okay, here's more money. No, it's here's more money, but Rod, I want you to do a second show now. Or I want you to do another feature or an extra half an hour. And then you say, no, I'm not doing an extra half an hour, but I'll do this instead. Right? You go back and forth.
Yeah, well,
there's something in there.
Sandra in Saskatoon's watching. She says, my understanding is that the CFL and the Players Association can't agree on the wording. It's not the amendment that they disagree on. So maybe it's much ado about nothing, but I hope that they correct it soon or amend it soon. Because as the agent said, my player wants to know where he's playing in 2020. I think you said he's got a family he'd like to know, and I think that's fair, too.
Absolutely.
And lastly, in our quick six show topics here in the rollout for Flooring Superstores, really got things going, tongues wagging, when we talked about the flagship franchise in the CFL. Now, it is the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and will be until somebody proves otherwise. I'd mentioned in the third last segment yesterday that it used to be the Eskimos. For a long time, it was the Eskimos, 30-some years. Riders took it away around 07 and still have it. And my question was, can the Winnipeg Blue Bombers ever hope to take it away from Saskatchewan or anybody else? And Dan Plaster, who was sitting here, said, well, why not? Why not? But they got a win, and it really got feathers ruffled, which is kind of what we love to do. And it really went back and forth between Bomber fans and Rider fans, and Bomber fans make a great point. They're like, we got 11 Grey Cups. You got four. Some of them think they already are the flagship franchise, and that's nice of them to think that. What I really got a kick out of was the Stampeders fans, particularly blogger and chief punk Ryan Ballantyne, who said the conversation for flagship franchise in the CFL begins and ends with the Calgary Stampeders. Like, I grabbed my gut and ha ha! Even the Calgary Stampeders don't think they're the flagship franchise of the CFL. Like, come on, get out of here.
Well, and that's everybody.
You can't even fill your own stadium.
Everybody's got a different definition on what it is, right? Everybody thinks, you know, you try and figure out what that definition is that's going to make you look good. So in Calgary, you go to winning, for sure. They're winning. But that doesn't mean you're the flagship franchise.
And they know it deep down. They know it.
They know it.
Wes can shed some light on that because he's played for the Stamps and the Rough Riders. And as a matter of fact, I think it was Wes. We've had many former Stampeders come through here. Even Nick Lewis admitted they're jealous. They're jealous. If you're the flagship franchise, why would you be jealous of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders? Why are we spending any time on this?
Because it's entertaining.
I know. Awesome. JR,
you're getting them fired up this morning.
JR's watching in Cranbrook, BC. He says, Calgary, LOL. Flagship franchise. Well, here we go. We could spend hours on this.
Good.
From Jason Bicek in Red Deer. Excuse me, Rod, but the Stamps have to be the flagship franchise now. How can you deny that? I'll tell you how. 2010 West Finals, Saskatchewan Rough Riders at the Calgary Stampeders. The Stampeders held a pregame rally on the Saturday afternoon in downtown Calgary. Three people showed up. Two were Rider fans. Stop it. Stop it. Do they actually believe it?
I don't know. I don't know. That's the thing. You kind of sit here and you question. They don't actually. Maybe they. Do they? They don't. I don't know.
Why would they be so jealous of the Riders if they were the flagship franchise? So I look. Come
Beautiful
on. Stop.
Stadium,
stop it.
Great fan base. Merchandise sales.
Neil Shuchuk watching in White Court. Alberta says the local store in White Court says Rider jerseys outsell any other team 3-1, even in White Court, Alberta. Most folks have never even heard of White Court, Alberta. Rider fans outsell every other team by 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Come on.
You know, it's interesting, too, because, but, you know, there is a little bit of conversation and debate around it. And I start thinking about the NFL and I think, are the Patriots the flagship state, you know, team in the NFL?
It's the Dallas Cowboys. It begins and ends with America's team.
Well, exactly. You know, you look there and it's like, that's the team that's got the biggest brand. They've got the biggest fan base, you know, across North America, around the globe. But the Patriots have won. They're building one. And so you build rivalries that way. Who sells the most merchandise? Who fills the park? Who's got a bigger presence? Who carries the league flag? Who does all of those things? I think it begins and ends in Saskatchewan.
Hey, one last one. Jamie Neugebauer watching. He was just in here yesterday. He says, why does it even matter? Noogsy, if you need to ask that question, you're never going to get it. But spend the next 40 minutes asking yourself, who's the flagship franchise of the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League that you work in? And you'll find out that it does matter. And it's interesting. Wes Cates in studio next. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstores. And you are watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Markdown March has arrived at Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina. It's the best time of year to receive the biggest discounts, highest trade values, lowest payments, and hundreds of brand new vehicles to choose from. Get a special $1 over invoice price on all remaining new 2019 vehicles. Plus, get into a brand new Ford Escape for just $22,296 plus tax. And save up to $20,000 on 2019 Super Duties. Only for a limited time at Saskatchewan's largest Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Wednesday morning sports update. Marc-Andre Fleury's been the face of the Vegas Golden Knights since the team joined the league in 2017. Since Robin Lehner was acquired in a trade last month, however, Vegas coach Peter DeBoer insisted the Golden Knights have two starting goalies. And with two starts under Leonard's belt, DeVore's enjoying that luxury. Robin Lehner stopped 27 shots in his 300th career game. Willie Karlsson scored his 100th career goal. And the Golden Knights beat the New Jersey Devils 3-0 at the Fortress last night. Evander Kane scored two goals to give the San Jose Sharks their first three-game win streak since November with a 5-2 win over the Leafs. Alex Chiasson scored on a power play in overtime, and the Oilers beat the Dallas Stars 2-1 in a matchup of likely Western Conference playoff teams. Kyle Connor scored twice and added a helper to lead the Winnipeg Jets to a 3-1 win over the Buffalo Sabres. Sidney Crosby scored and collected his 800th career assist as the Pittsburgh Penguins ended a six-game slide with a 7-3 win over Ottawa, and Brendan Gallagher had a goal and a helper in Montreal's 3-goal first period. Canadiens beat the Islanders 6-2. Brad Gushue's ring from Newfoundland is eyeing a 5-1 start at the Tim Hortons Briar this morning in Kingston. They're facing PEI's Brian Cochran in the morning draw. Cochran's rink is a 2-3 record heading into the final day of preliminary play. Also this morning, none of it faces Manitoba. UConn takes on BC, and New Brunswick plays the Territories. Saskatchewan's Matt Dunstone has the morning off. They're 5-1, assured of at least a tiebreaker berth. That is the morning sports report for Ballers Rec Room, and I'll be seeing you ballers at lunch, heading there with the chief of Direct West for lunch today, one Keith Jinnah.
Good.
We're in the bunker, episode 185 of the Rod Peterson Show. We welcome Hall of Famer Wes Cates to the program, Saskatchewan Rough Rider, second all-time leading rusher. How you doing, Wes?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Good, yeah. Good. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sitting through our preamble that went a little long there.
But
you were nodding your head and shaking your head. You had a lot of thoughts on those. So how do you feel about the TJ Jones situation?
I think there's two sides to it. One is, isn't he like, he's been in the NFL for
5 years. Yes.
Yeah, so it doesn't make sense to kind of classify him as a rookie. I would say they should change the classification for guys who have been in other leagues, like even guys that would say come from the XFL now or something like that. They shouldn't necessarily be classified rookies. But I understand from the player side, because ever since the salary cap came in, it's made Canadian like players, the elite Canadian player, who now might be above, a little above marginal in the CFL compared to the U.S. guys, is now the sought-after guy who gets all the money. So the players are like, whoa, 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 let's tamp that down a bit. But, and so I would say let him play for that, but he should know that he's going to come up against a lot of, like, angry guys that are going to try to show him up day in, day out in practice and in games.
When did it dawn on you, this ratio thing? Because, like, when did you go, he's playing here, why? Like, there's 10 other guys better than him.
You know when it dawns on you is when there's a great American that's excited about making a team and he doesn't understand the ratios and he's talking about how he's excited to make the team. You're like, buddy, you're not going to make the team. Like, your spot is a Canadian spot, so you're just not going to make the team. I don't know how to tell you this, but it was something for me. I came in, like, the 06 was the year, the last year there was no salary cap. So I think 07 was the first year of the salary cap. So 06 was my rookie year. Maybe it was 08. Anyway, I remember just having coaches tell me, oh, you're not going to be able to get cap, blah, 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 this and that. But it took about 2 years, and I was like, whoa, this really has become like a great Canadians league, because that salary cap is like, well, we only have this much money. So those top Canadians, we got to give all the extra money to, because we got to fill some spots with Canadians. It's just, you got to play the game with Canadians. And Canadians are getting better, and they deserve their money. I'm not saying any of that, but I'm just saying there's a lot of great Americans out there who can outplay Canadians, but because of the ratio, they don't get the money and they don't get the opportunity.
So you saw it. When did you sort of accept it? Because some people never accept it. Some Americans never accept this.
I accepted it in 07 when I was in camp with the Stamps and watched John Cornish barely lift a finger, knowing that he was going to make the team and me and one of the Americans was going to get cut. Like, that's when I was like, oh, yeah, this is serious. Like, it's a, I mean, it should be a Canadians league, right? But it's just tough to know that, like, man to man, you can outplay a guy, but because of these ratios, you have to, like, find your way in. Like, I got to be a great teamer, too. I got to be able to play multiple positions, or else I'm going to get sent home. Whereas a Canadian, it's like, he's a little bit above average. We need a backup at that spot, so we're going to pay him 20-30% more than the league minimum, because we know that there's nobody else out there that we can go get, so we got to keep them around, so we got to keep them happy. That's, even if we're not going to play them.
That would be the hardest thing, right, is when you're in the locker room and you're on the football field, you're so used to just competing and you're one of the guys. You're not sitting here being like, oh, you're American, I'm Canadian, you're, right, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when you think about it, you're like, oh, okay. That would be, yeah, exactly.
It's a little humbling. It's like you feel a little slighted, but... Sure. You got to learn how to play by the rules, I guess, is the best thing you can tell a guy is just find a way. You got to figure it out and find a way.
And the best coaches and GMs, are you talking the players have to find a way,
yeah,
or the
like
teams
the
have to find a way?
The Americans have to find a way to make that CFL team. They've just got to find a way.
The interesting thing about all of this, I'm just going to sprinkle in some comments as we go. Paul Bernstrom writes in and says, hey, Rod, missed the first half hour. Saw you on Max doing the Broncos game last night. What did you think of the 6FF? Force fumbles. Go back and watch the warm up, Paul. We discussed that already. We're into football now. Completely blew my mind on that. But this is the thing with the Americans, and I didn't really notice it till near the end of my time. You guys are ballers. You grew up scrapping for every rep, for every sniff, every opportunity, and when you're fortunate enough to make it, you're grateful for it. I'm not saying every Canadian's like this, but you see some Canadians that don't have to work as hard.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the Cornish thing, but there's a bit of a complacency that sets in.
Yeah, and let me say Cornish is one of the best running backs ever play in this league, but he honestly, me and the other running back, Ken Symington, we joked about how lazy Cornish was through camp because he had made $20,000 before he even got to camp. They drafted him. He went back to Kansas because they just knew the caliber of player they was. Like, Calgary was ready to change their whole team around this kid who was tearing it up a bit in Kansas and was a Canadian. So we knew when he showed up that he was going to make the team. And we had conversations about it every day.
We have a Bomber fan writing in, David Asplund. He says, Wes Cates, I'm curious on your thoughts on the Andrew Harris PED with you being a former running back. Do you think his legacy / championship year is tarnished?
Not if everything stands up. I mean, people are going to try to say that whenever he's going into the hall and all that type of stuff, but I don't think it really tarnishes anything. He played by the rules, you know what I mean? You see guys that just roll the dice and they get caught, they sit out, and they're like, well, I wouldn't be making the money if I wasn't performing at the level, blah, blah, blah. So if he did, if he served his time and he did everything, I think what's fair is fair. Like, he got to win the championship. He was the best player in that game. I think that people are going to try to knock him down when things about, you know what I mean, all-star and that type of thing come up. But, hey, he's playing by the rules. If it's cool with the rules, then he should be able to put it behind him.
Interesting. We're going to be hearing this into 2020, into the 2020 season. The Bombers certainly feel that he's served his time. Just like you said, he served his suspension, taken his 40 lashes, if you will, and feel that he is very deserving of all the awards and honors that have come his way. I'm not totally ready to move on. And as I told the Bombers, because they sent me some notes on this, I said the public will decide when a sentence has been served. Not the CFL and not the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
If he keeps denying it, I think it's going to make it worse for him. You know what I mean? It's like, just kind of admit that you weren't keeping up with it and you like to try new stuff and you teeter on the edge of too much. Because I don't know. I've never seen a guy of his age run around with as much energy as he has, play in and play out. You're on something extra, dude. I don't know if it's legal or not, but you're on something extra.
Let's go to video chat right now. Otha Foster of the Rough Riders joins us today. Last time he was in Edmonton. Otha, good morning. Good to hear from you. Where are you joining us from today?
Home. Good morning. I'm in Louisiana.
Oh, beautiful Louisiana. Here's the connection. Number 20 now, number 20 before. Do you have your number with this reincarnation of the Riders? Otha, you know what you're going to wear in 2020?
I'm not sure. I don't know if it's going to be 20. I did look at the roster and I seen that it was a young guy that had number 20. So either I'm going to have 20 or 31.
Okay, good stuff. So congratulations, by the way. We were all very excited when you signed with the Rough Riders. Can you talk about how that came about and how you're feeling about 2020?
I'm really feeling very excited about 2020. I mean, the Rough Riders had a great season last year. It didn't end it as they wanted, but I feel like with the new pieces, as having a new OC and the same core coming back, especially on the defensive side, re-signing the quarterback, I feel like we have a great chance of making a push to winning the great club. And how it came about, I mean, I was just sitting there, and I had a funny feeling that I was going to get a call from some team. I didn't know exactly what team. About coming back and playing this year. And I stay in shape, so I was ready. I was excited when I got that call.
What'd your mom say?
She was excited. She's always excited. She's overexcited about everything. It don't take too much to get her excited. But she was,
that's why I asked.
She was happy about it. And, she asked me, do I really wanted to go back and play? And I said, sure. I mean, I feel like I can. I still got a lot of left in the tank. So it's still great situation, great environment, going back to a place where I know the guys, know the coaches, and know the scheme.
I'm sure these guys got questions, but just one more from me. I'm interested in what maybe Jeremy O'Day told you or Craig Dickinson. Are they saying you're coming in here and you are our Sam linebacker, or are they saying you got to compete? I mean, how did that conversation go?
I mean, we really didn't talk too much about that, but I'm definitely coming in to play Sam linebacker. You know, Moncrief, he's gone to the NFL, who was a great player for them the last few years. I feel like he's going to do great things in the NFL. But, you know, that's the position that I played since I've been here. And, you know, with his departure, they probably felt like I was the best player available to play the position in their scheme.
Wow, that's awesome. So what have you been up to, Otha, through the offseason and prior, just, you know, to be ready for this opportunity again?
Man, I just been trying to do business. I've been in my business, Divine Touch Care. I've been doing that. Also with that, I've been working out, man, spending the majority of the time with my daughter. I have a trainer. I've been training with him. I have a lot of guys in my area who, you know, work out, who love football. So it hasn't been hard. It's been staying in shape. I mean, you see, I'm a United States Marine. So it's on the other side. United States Marine, and that's something that just bodied in me to be in shape. I always stayed in shape.
Paul in Manitoba writes in, he says, are the Riders doing the all-in again this year as they did in 2013? Now, you weren't around in 2013. Maybe I'll save that question, Paul, for Jim Hobson when he joins us here. But the fact of the matter is, Otha, if you've noticed, Saskatchewan's hosting the Grey Cup in 2020. So do you feel, are you aware of the added pressure on the green and white at this time?
I mean, definitely. I mean, whenever you are had a season like they had last year, and, you know, you're so close, and then the next year, I mean, you're hosting the Grey Cup, and, I mean, you make all the right moves in free agency. You feel like it's your year winning, especially winning the last Grey Cup at your doing like the same situation as far as hosting the Grey Cup at your own place. So I feel like we definitely have a lot of pressure on us. Not too much, but, I mean, it's sports. We always have pressure on you.
Did you watch much of the Riders last year in 2019?
Whenever I had a chance, I did, yeah.
So did you see traces of the Chris Jones? How much traces of the Chris Jones defense did you see in what Jason Shivers was calling last year?
Almost a lot. But he do have his own different, like, kits and things in it. Like, he is very similar to what Chris Jones ran, but you could tell it's a little different. You could tell it's not Jones defense exactly, but I feel like it's the same concepts and pretty much. But I like what Shive's doing. I mean, the defense was on fire last year. Like, I knew they would be. I mean, they got a lot of great players on their defense, so I feel like Shive's doing a great job, did a great job last year, and will do even better job this year.
You're seeing, well, you probably aren't seeing, but there's a lot of comments coming in, particularly from our friend Miranda Foster, who you know very well. She says, yeah. He's going to win another cup. Let's go, Otha. What's been the outpouring from the Rider Nation since you signed back with the Green and White? What's that been like?
Oh, man, it's been great. I mean, shoot, it's like they love, the Rider fans love their Riders. And, man, coming back, I mean, I have nothing but positive vibes from all the fans and all the people who watched me play when I was here previously. So far, I mean, the fan base has been great.
All right. Well, count me in that's excited to have you back, Otha. I appreciate that, and we'll see you when you get back into town.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I can't wait.
Otha Foster joining us from Louisiana this morning. One of the newest members of the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Just before we break, Trent Bruner chiming in. Trent in Norway writes, Norway here. Green is the color and the mark of the CFL's flagship franchise. Sell out SAS Tel Center so David Ayres sees Saskatchewan's sports passion. Go Saskatchewan at the Briar. Have a good one back home. So Trent's watching in Norway. Wouldn't that be something if all the goalies got hurt at the Rush game Saturday and David Ayres had to come in and play goal there?
Could you imagine? I hope he's signed as the emergency goaltender, and I hope he comes in and plays.
That would be amazing.
That would be outstanding.
Donald Mitchell's watching in Ottawa. He says, I missed the start. Did you guys address the kerfluffle about the actual number of media at the commissioner's presentation in Vancouver? Donald Mitchell, that is so yesterday. You got to go back and watch yesterday's show, right, Dupes?
Yes.
And specifically, in the rollout and the third last segment with Dan Plaster, we talked about these things. When we come back after the break, Jim Hobson and Wes Cates, two Hall of Famers, joining us in the bunker. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand dry and inspect every vehicle for a top quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Roughriders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Thanks for joining us for Caliber Coffee on this Wednesday morning, episode 185 of Canada's only live morning sports talk show. We are having a rider-themed show, as we said, but it's not just memory lane. I mean, that's going to come up. But I want to get these guys' thoughts on current CFL topics, and we already did that with Wes Cates, one Hall of Famer. We welcome back to the bunker Jim Hobson, former Rider President, Canadian Football Hall of Famer, and Plaza inductee. How you doing, Jim?
Good, thank you.
You're all business suited and booted today. What do you got going on?
I had a meeting this morning, so I dressed up a little bit. Not the norm.
I thought it was for us.
not the norm.
hey, everybody wants to know, how's life? I'm surprised you're not still in Mexico. How's your winter been?
Life is wonderful. I'm pretty fortunate. We were in Mexico for a couple months, and great time. And came home for 3 weeks at least, maybe a little bit longer. We've got a few things to do, and we wanted to see our moms and things like that. And the weather's been great, so I'm not going to complain at all.
You got to get your mom set up on Facebook. Yeah. Think you can do that?
I was surprised when she got a cell phone, so we'll have to.
Right. Hey, look, we were chatting in the break. Well, we have been saying, what's the CFL's flagship franchise? It's now the Saskatchewan Roughriders, has been, I would suggest, since about 07. It was the Eskimos before that. And would any team be able to supplant that? And Winnipeg Blue Bombers to think that they could. But, I mean, they're not having, from what I see, bomber parties in Mexico. I mean, that Ryder party you were talking about, can you tell the viewers about that? And you just had it last month.
Yeah, it. I think it was about the 15th year. Started small with some Ryder fans that were down in Puerto Vallarta, and they decided to have a get-together, and it just kept growing and growing, and they had to get bigger locations. My wife went a few times when I wasn't able to, when I was still working. But since I retired, we've been there every year, and 600-700 people, all wearing Ryder gear. It's incredible. You see some Bomber jerseys and a few other, you know, Calgary hats and stuff like that, but it's Ryder fans. They just have a lot of fun. This year, Poli and Aldag and myself were there, and Roger Bramvold, former chair, Doug Rogers, former board member. We had a lot of fun. Poli gets up and does his Johnny Cash thing, and you've seen that.
Never disappoints.
never disappoints.
So, of the CFL issues, I know you're following things pretty closely down there, but there's one just within the last week that's come up, and it's this TJ Jones situation. How much do you know about it, and do you have an opinion on it?
I happened to listen to a bit on the radio about it, and then I read a bit about it. I think they're doing the right thing by trying to make a change. Here's a guy that should be in the CFL, played half a dozen years in the NFL. He's a legit player, and they want to pay him rookie wages. I understand why they put that in the first place, but they didn't envision a situation, I think, where somebody was coming back from the NFL after a few years. So for him to come back and play for $80,000, pretty tough. It'd be like asking John Ryan to come back and play for that kind of money. So I think they'll get worked out. They seem to have a will to do it.
Why would they... You sort of said you see why they did. Why would they put that in? For instance, we've had a lot of guys, Dan Fetter, Kyle, Austin Colley, a lot of NFL Canadians have come back. Why would they want to tinker with that and change that?
Well, it was that first-year contract thing. It was basically done for rookies coming out of college, and whether it's American or Canadian. I think you can debate the $80,000 number. The real key was they wanted to tie up the players for 3 years, that they could sign them to a three-year contract, because if you're going to invest in a rookie and get them on the team, you want them to be around for a while. And I think that was the thinking behind it, was getting the long-term contract rather than the $80,000. But with salaries as tight as they are, and you got veterans making less than $80,000, so, that whole management of the cap is, it's a challenge. And until we get more dollars in the pot, it'll continue to be a challenge.
So here's the answer everybody wants to get from you guys. How are the Riders going to be in 2020? I get it all the time. Wes, I'll start with you. What do you see here this season?
I mean, they've got all the pieces from a great run last year, right? You finish the season with the best record, and, you come up short in a tough home game in the playoffs. I think everybody should expect them to be, front runners to be in the Grey Cup and win it this year. I mean, obviously, you got to get a few games under your belt in maybe the first third of the season and see how every team's identity shakes out, but they've got the horses. They've got the players. I was impressed with their camp. They've been signing up some great guys this year. Or their camp last year. I was impressed with their team, and they've been signing up some quality players this year. So, who's to say they won't be better?
Jim, you've been asked, and I'm sure you have thoughts on it.
Specifically,
just how the Riders are going to be in 2020 overall.
Well, I think they're going to be pretty good. I like what Jeremy's done. He's got the bulk of his team back, or at least the key pieces. It's a veteran team, and he's been able to re-sign most of the players. We lost a couple good players, but they've signed some guys, as we know, to replace them. Interesting that the one-year contracts continue to be a challenge, but when you have a good situation, a good team with good management and good environment, you can re-sign your guys, and that's what Jeremy's been able to do. But I think we should be good. But at the end of the day, it's the CFL. It's going to be competitive. All the teams in the West should be competitive, and quarterbacks. And fortunately, we have some depth there now. But if your quarterback gets hurt, it certainly changes things in a hurry.
This is where it gets fun, when people write in with their questions. So Paul Bernstrom in Manitoba says, what does Jim think of all these one-year contracts? And I'm going to want to get your opinion too, Wes. We'll start with Jim, but you got the player's perspective. How do you feel about it?
I don't like them because it's hard to build a winning team and have continuity and fan association connection to the guys when they keep turning over like that. Understand why it was done. The players really wanted it because their careers are short, the money's not great, and they wanted the opportunity to maximize their earnings and their potential and so on. I do think we're seeing more multi-year contracts being signed league-wise, which is a good thing. It shows stability and shows that you can sign your players, but it's going to continue to be a challenge. As I said, the biggest problem is the size of the pot, and until we can get more money in that pot, it's going to continue to be something we have to live with, I guess.
Wes?
Yeah, it's kind of just one of those things where you always want to keep your options open as a player, right? With bargaining agreements always coming up and multiple leagues out there and just, you know, your performance, believing in your performance, you always think like that next better contract is right around the corner. So you don't really want to tie yourself up for 3-4 years when you believe in yourself and the fact that you might be able to go to a team that wants you more, is willing to pay you more, or go to a league that can pay you more, right? So it's tough. I think all players get to that point as a veteran, maybe a few years in, when you're like, I better stop playing with my money before I mess it all up. So you go ahead and lock in with the team that's kind of been treated you the best, I think. So it's one of those things that just wisdom comes with age, and you kind of the long money starts to look a little better as you get older. But, you know, you always want to just keep your options open.
See, but I blame the teams because I look at Weston Dressler, signs a 4-year deal, locked in, marries a local girl, starts a family, and a year in. I don't blame the players. Yeah. And I look at it as a fan and a pundit. I think it's hella exciting. And you can change your team's fortunes on a dime with these one-year contracts, right? In free agency, you could do a six-month rebuild. Montreal did it last year. A lot of that had to do with Kahari Jones taking over because the roster didn't really change. But Jim, the player Jim Hobson might feel differently than the president Jim Hobson. Would I be right in saying that?
I agree. You know, Wes makes a great point. I mean, you know, career's short. Guys want to have the opportunity to capitalize on a big year, and you can't blame them for that. And you're right about helping turn teams around. I mean, I think we're going to see a much better team in BC this year. I think they've done a better job in the free agency than they did last year. Montreal is a great example. So, and even Toronto looks like they've done some pretty interesting things with it. So, yeah, it can turn things around. I guess I look at it from the marketing side because it is harder to market your team when you have a lot of turnover. Having said that, winning teams breed success, and so if you have a winning team, you're gonna get the fans back in there. But it's going to continue to be a challenge. You know, it's the one big thing that we've got to deal with is the amount of money we have available to pay our players.
Sure. People that's the biggest issue. That's the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, which we could spend hours on. But I'll also say this. When you're now 1-year contracts and you're attracting players, you need to up your game as a franchise. Better facilities, treat your players better, all of that. So from a player perspective, I really enjoy that. And I know that's what you did. You made that a priority when you came in. You started paying more, right? Upgraded the facilities. And all of a sudden, it's not... Now, looking back, it doesn't look like rocket science, Jim, but maybe at the time you were kind of going out on the limb.
Well,
would you? Am I right?
If we hadn't won, I think yes, but it was obvious that we had to find one way or a real productive way to attract and retain the best players and facilities and support. And even I remember we put the gym in the old Superstore building. That made a difference to the players. They want a place to work out, and we didn't have that. And so, yeah, you've got to work on that. And the teams that take care of their players and take care of their staff are the teams that generally do the best.
I'm seeing you talk about making money for the players. Let's not forget about the coaches. Our buddies, the coaches. Because in 2006, when the Riders made the coaching change from Danny Barrett to Ken Austin, and Wes, you weren't around yet. You came close. You came in the June of 2007. But I remember Matt Dominguez saying, coaching alone will get us 3 more wins. And he nailed it. from 9 wins to 12 wins. And now there's a cap on coaching. I mean, that's, you talk about BC being better. It's not just about what's on the field, right? Absolutely. You can't discount coaching.
No, you can't. And we see that every year, both in the NFL and the CFL. And Kahari's a great example. But Kent, when he came in, made a big difference for us in 07, changed the mindset of the team. And I thought that one of the big challenges to me was the expectations we had of ourselves. And it seemed like the Danny Barrett years, we seemed to be happy with just making the playoffs. And unfortunately, we couldn't get hot in the playoffs, and so we didn't get any further. But Kent changed it. Grey Cup or bust was his thinking. And since then, we've had a lot of those years where the expectations have been very high. And I think that they're very high every year. But it's obvious going into this season that our fans, our team, expects to be a playoff team and go deep.
Jim, sticking with us an hour or two. Wes is adjourning here at the end of hour one. So I'm going to put this to you, Wes. It's from John Schmeiser, writes in. He says, question for Jim, but I'm going to put it to you, Wes.
Okay.
Is it worth the time and investment the commission is making on growing the game internationally when we have issues in Toronto, BC, Montreal? From a player's perspective, what's your take on CFL 2.0 and the global expansion, I guess?
I think it's always good to get more fans, right? Because fans kind of support the league, right? You, if you're not filling the stands up, then I don't think anybody's going to stick around to see how it unfolds. So I think the more you can reach out to people who are interested in the game and get them on board and get them investing in your game specifically, that's always a smart move, I think. Like players, we feed off of the fans, and I think that's one of the great things. Like I think Jim did a great job of pulling at the fans' heartstrings at a time when they were ready to give up on the Riders, right? And got them all, like, pulled back in and loving the game and supporting. And when you're a player and you're in that type of atmosphere, it adds to the things that keep you around. You know what I mean? So I think if you're trying to build the league under in that same vision, then that's a smart move.
And last – oh, sorry, go ahead.
I just want to make a comment. I know the commission – takes some heat over his initiative for international football. But I think what it really comes down to is he understands that Vancouver, Toronto, and Montreal are international cities with huge immigration or huge immigrant populations. And he wants to connect to that new fan base. And we're not doing it in those places. And so more of the old, more of the rah-rah about Canadian content and all the rest of it isn't going to do it. You got to find a way to connect. Look at what the Raptors have done. And so he's trying to do that. So I give him credit for trying and for not just saying we're going to do more of what we used to do.
From our intern, Alan Lee, here's the last one, Wes. And he is a real beauty. Alan, I got to tell you, hopefully you can meet him in the break. Who is your Mount Rushmore for running backs?
Ugh.
And initially I thought he meant just Riders, just CFL. He's saying the position.
Yeah.
Who's your top four on your Mount Rushmore of running backs?
Oh, man. I'll have to say, I don't know. They almost have to be throwbacks.
Of course. Whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like Jim Brown was just,
wow.
You know what I mean? A beast.
Old
like,
school.
He was almost like,
yeah.
He was like Superman of his day, right? Gale Sayers, if he hadn't hurt his knee,
nice.
He was like probably the most prolific player in the league. Unstoppable. Then Walter Payton, just because of the man he was and who he is. And then Barry Sanders, because he's literally the most elusive guy to ever carry the ball. You know,
no Emmett Smith, huh?
Emmett, I feel like Emmett was just a guy who, I mean, not just. Emmett was a great running back who was behind an even better offensive line, and he stayed healthy. Like, if some of the greats were able to stay healthy, guys would have played 20 years. It's like injuries slow guys down. And there's guys like from my era or now that I could sprinkle in there, but I don't know if they deserve it.
Here you go, Alan. Jim Brown, Gale Sayers, Walter Payton, and Barry Sanders. Wes, thank you. Let's do it again soon.
Jim sure. Brown, two sport All-American.
What was his other
lacrosse.
Sport?
Lacrosse.
He was a
beast. Oh, you got me on that one. I didn't know that one.
Yeah.
Hour two, more with Jim Hobson and the Riders. Josiah St. John will be joining us as well. It's a Rider-themed show today. Rod Peterson Show continues after this break on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Markdown March has arrived at Capital GMC in Regina.
The Capital Auto Mall has over 550 used vehicles, and they've all been repriced to move. Right now, get the certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Impala LT for only $21,511 plus tax. Or check out the certified pre-owned 2019 Buick Encore Preferred all-wheel drive. It's only $23,911 plus tax. Only for a limited time at Canada's number one GM certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
A man's personality and character is exuded through his haircut. Your image is important. Our high-end services range from a traditional haircut and shave to gray blending, beard shaping, and unwanted hair removal. Located at 425 Victoria Avenue East, book your appointment online now at modernmen.ca or call Tammy 306-522-4111. Modern Men, a haircut for the modern man.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.